So Ephesians chapter 4, we found out in the passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, we learned that we are to be in a constant transformation process. We talked about that transformation process that comes when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This involves putting off our sinful habits and replacing them with good habits so we learn, as we learn the truths from Jesus Christ. Now we develop good behavioral habits by being renewed in the spirit of our minds. That's what I want us to talk about this morning. But before we get into that, I really want us to pray that the Holy Spirit would renew our minds, that He would help us to think about these things that He wants us to change in our lives, that He wants us to think differently about in our lives, and then allow Him to continue this transformation process in our lives. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank You for transforming us. I thank You for renewing our minds through Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You would send Your Spirit into our minds today. Speak to our hearts and transform our thinking. Lord, clean out the bad thoughts in our minds. May our minds be renewed so that our habits will be renewed, so that the way we live will be pleasing in Your sight and not grieving in Your sight. We pray that You would help us to understand how You develop good behavior in us through Your Holy Spirit. I pray that we would understand it and see that You are working in our hearts and minds to do just that, to produce lives that are pleasing in Your sight. And Lord, that's what we want to be. We want to be pleasing in Your sight. And we know that we can't do that on our own. We know that we need You and Your strength to do that. And we know that You are pleased when we have that attitude, an attitude that says, Lord, will You guide me? Not perfection, but an attitude that says, Lord, please guide me today. We thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do in our hearts and minds. We are Your workmanship. Create in us what You'd have that's pleasing to You. In Jesus' name, amen. So we develop good behavioral habits by being renewed in the spirit of our minds. Look at verse 23 for a moment. Verse 23 of chapter 4. I know it's not in your bulletin, but a couple verses earlier in chapter 4, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So with this renewal of our minds, we're encouraged to have a renewal of our minds. And now the author of Ephesians, Paul, is going to show us how that renewed mind is going to affect our behavior. You see, our brains, our minds function through habit. Think about it for a moment. I was reading a book, I was reading about a book, that tells that so much of our daily life is lived by habit. We have to. Our brains need habits in order for us to be able to function. Just about everything we do is habitual. How we walk, you don't have to think about how you move your legs and to lift your foot and to bring it forward and to shift the weight. When you are two, though, you have to learn how to walk. And your brain spends a lot of time and energy thinking about that. Until there is, of course, some disability that might hinder you from walking, and then you've got to learn all over again how to walk. But we have to develop these habits so that our conscious brain is not constantly having to think about one one or more of these regular functions in our lives. But if we think about, if we had to think about every single movement, or we had to, or anything we do, our brain would be so overwhelmed we couldn't get anything done. God designed our brains in a way that most of what we do is done in a small part of the brain that just takes over to free up our conscious brain. That takes more energy. Try something. So let's try something. Fold your arms. All right, Jeff's already folding his arms, so he doesn't have to worry about that. Okay, now fold them the other way. Yeah. You got to think about it, right? Now you got to think about it. Yeah, so, you know, you got to fold your arms different way. So, see how you got to think? That required some brain power. Well, we're designed in a way that when our minds are conditioned, we do things automatically. Okay? What has happened in our lives? Before we accepted Christ, our minds were conditioned and it affected our habits. We developed habits because of what we, the way we were thinking. And our brains were conditioned in a way that we created certain habits. And those habits may not be good habits. Some of the habits we have are good, like walking, eating, chewing, all those kind of things are good. So there are things we don't need to change, but there are some things that we may need to change. So it's hard, though, to change those habits until you renew your mind. Your mind has to have a reset. And it has to rethink certain things so that you develop different habits. Okay? So keep that in mind. And God designed us that way. So you're going to find in your life, as you're being transformed by God, you may have some habits. And in other passages of Scripture, they're called strongholds, bad habits. You may have some of these bad habits in your life that God is going to have to help you rethink in order for you to really be able to overcome them. You're going to have to totally change how you go about these things so that instead of a bad habit, you replace it with a good habit. And that takes a renewal of the mind because that's the way God created us. You know, there was a time when Billy was trying to learn how to make a layup in basketball. And, you know, you go down the court and you take the ball in one hand and you jump up with the other leg and you go up. Well, instead of Billy going down and jumping up with the opposite leg that the arm was in, like, you know, you would do to make a good layup, he was doing it like this. You know, on the same foot, raising up the same arm, and he wasn't able to make a layup like he should. So I had to say, "Hey, Billy, you gotta keep focus on the left leg going up first. The left leg being the launch leg," and he had to do it over and over and over again until he trained his mind to automatically jump off the left leg to go up for a layup, okay? But it took some time, and he had to think it through. He couldn't just rely on his motor skills, his habitual motor skills, to do the layup, or else he would go off the wrong leg. Well, that's how it is with us. We've got to think through some things that we got to rethink some things that we did in the past, so that we can be transformed and replace that bad habit with good habits, okay? So first, your mind has to rethink how it is doing something and learn to take new action. You see, as we rethink our behavioral habits based on the truth of Jesus, our minds will be renewed and our actions will change and develop good habits. Notice verse 30. Notice verse 30. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." This verse reminds us of the truth we see in chapter 1 in verse 13 of Ephesians. In there we learned that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is our identifying mark, confirming our salvation. So everyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, asking for forgiveness of their sins, will have this attitude of repentance where they are willing to have their minds renewed by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's how you know that God and you are in a right relationship. He's working on you. His Holy Spirit is helping you. He's renewing your mind. So when the Holy Spirit indwells us, He starts revealing sinful habits He wants us to put away and the good habits He wants us to develop. So as believers in Jesus, if we continue in our sinful habits, it saddens the Holy Spirit because He cares about us. Understand that when someone cares about you deeply, they want to see only what's best for you. And Jesus Christ cares for you more than anyone else. And because of that care, He is grieved when we don't do what is right. Philip Allison reminds us that one cannot grieve another who does not care for him. You understand that? You understand that because the Lord cares so deeply about us, when He sees us involved in bad habits that are going to hurt our lives, it grieves Him. And so that's why He wants us to be transformed. God cares so much about you that He wants you to develop habits that will help you enjoy the blessings of having an excellent relationship with others and unify you in the church for His purpose. So I want us to take a look at this passage and see how the Holy Spirit wants to develop good habits in us. So let's look at verse 25 for a moment. It says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another." I want you to understand, Paul here uses the quotation from Zechariah 8:16 to show God's command for us to be honest. Any action we take that goes directly against this command to us is going to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to remember this command is in this verse is in the larger context of being unified with other believers. So, this is addressing the church at Ephesus, and we're to be unified with other believers. We're to have good relationships with others that we are around on a constant basis. And it only is going to happen if we change our behavior to conform to what we see here in the Bible. As a matter of fact, what we're about to learn in these few passages, few verses here, is going to dramatically help us in our relationships with everybody. And I think you'll see that. I think you'll see that in order for you to have a good relationship with someone, there must be a level of trust established. Can you really have a good relationship with someone that you know is a constant liar? Not really. No. Because you can never trust them. You can't trust what they're saying. You can't trust if they're going to do something to manipulate you or to talk bad about you or be dishonest about you. So when you are honest with others, you make it easier for people to bond with you. If someone can trust you, they can bond with you. They can have a closer relationship with you. But if they think you're going to deceive them, they won't ever be able to really have a close relationship with you. Really, any relationship we have that's going to last, that's going to be good, it must be built on honesty and trust. People feel comfortable around honest, transparent people. That's one of the things that I always strive to be. And I like being around people that are transparent. They're honest. They're honest about themselves. They're honest about their faults. They're not trying to put up some facade and make themselves something that they really aren't. But they're transparent and they're honest with you about themselves and about life. And it's nice to be around people like that. I like people that what I see is what I get. You know, and that might not be pretty at times, but at least you know that they're not fake, okay? And I think that's important for us to understand. So you also develop a reputation of honesty that people can rely on. When you are always honest, people can rely on you, and they will be more trusting of you and closer to you because you've developed this reputation of honesty. There was a story of a Little League baseball game where this young boy that was playing baseball, and he was on playing shortstop, and he went to tag the guy at second, and the umpire called him out, and the young boy went up to the ump and said, "I missed the tag." So the ump, recognizing that the boy was being honest, and, you know, he made a mistake, called the guy safe. Well, 2 weeks later, there was another game in which this young man was playing shortstop, and the ump was being the ump. And this guy was going to third base, and the shortstop was there to make the tag, and he tagged the young boy out, but the ump called him safe. And the young boy, you know, he just threw the ball back to the pitcher, and, you know, he was kind of dejected. And the ump said to the young boy, "What's the matter?" He said, "I really tagged that guy out." So the ump changed his call and called the guy out. Of course, the coach from the opposing team comes running out and saying, "Hey, whoa, wait a minute. He was, you know, you called him safe. What happened?" Then the ump said, "Hey, this is what happened 2 weeks ago. If a guy will be that honest, I got to give him the benefit of the doubt." Think about that for a minute. When you establish a reputation of being honest, people will give you the benefit of the doubt. And that's what we need to do. That's how we establish these close relationships. So the habit of honesty is a key principle in relationship building. You know, before I became a Christian, I had the habit of lying. I was someone that could lie and not even realize I was lying. It was in my subconscious. It was a habit that I had of lying. So it was just this habitual thing. I was a habitual liar, you could say. And when I realized that God was grieved by my lying, I asked him to help me. But that was not an easy process. I want you to understand. I had to rethink everything that I was saying. I had to consciously filter every word I was saying. I remember many conversations where I would have to say, wait a minute, I'm sorry, that's not how it happened. Let me tell you how it happened. Because my brain had to be retrained to, instead of naturally tell a lie, to naturally tell the truth. And so that's what we're being asked to do here, to put away lying by the renewing of our minds. Our minds need to be transformed, and it's going to take us developing the habit of telling the truth to put away the bad habit of lying. And so I hope we'll understand that. But when I did that, the relationships that I was able to build were much, much stronger than they were before. So this is something that will help us in our lives. So are you honest? Are you honest? Are you honest in the relationships that you have? Are you honest with others? Are you honest with yourself? Are you honest with God? Are you honest? Put on honesty. Put away lying. Look at verse 26. Verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, the Holy Spirit of God wants us to develop the habit of anger management. So not only does he want us to develop the habit of honesty, but he also wants us to develop the habit of anger management. Now, anger can destroy relationships faster than anything, and a display of anger towards another can instantly divide your relationship with that person. It leaves wounds in the hearts of those who lash out. The Roman emperor, Marcus Augustus, once said, how much more grievous are the consequences of anger than its causes? So much truth there. You know, the cause of our anger is something that we may not be able to control. But the consequences of our anger are something that we can control. And oftentimes, if we're not controlled by the Holy Spirit, our anger will get out of control and cause worse consequences than that which has made us angry. This is why we are warned against giving place to the devil. The devil wants a place in your heart where he can destroy your relationships with others. Think about that for a minute. If you allow anger to continue on in your heart, it produces bitterness, and that bitterness rots away at your relationships with others. And this is why it grieves the Holy Spirit, and this is why it gives place to the devil, because it puts enmity between you and God. It puts a barrier between you and him, because you've allowed this anger to produce sin in your life. And that's something that we don't want. It also robs us of our peace. It robs us of our peace. Ralph Emerson said this, for every minute you remain angry, you give up 60 seconds of peace of mind. And there's so much truth to that. So being angry is something that can rob us of our peace and joy. So how do we deal with anger? How do we manage our anger? I want us to understand that first of all, we need to figure out what we're being angry about. Are we being angry about the right things? There was a journalist who was going to Somalia, I believe it was, to cover the unrest in that area. And there was massive, brutal killings going on. There was all kinds of abuse going on towards people. It was really a horrific time. Well, the irony of this journalist experience was the outrage that he was exposed to the most was the businessmen in the area as they played tennis. He would hear from his hotel room how enraged they were when they missed a shot or they didn't get the point or something went wrong with their swing. As thousands of people around them were being killed, being slaughtered. And so sometimes we get angry about stuff that there's really no reason to be angry about it. You know, you get a flat tire, you get a chicken sandwich at Wendy's instead of the hamburger that you ordered. You know, people, I hear about that because my kids both work at Wendy's, so they're constantly telling me about these angry customers that because they got the wrong sandwich, they're just, you know, beside themselves over it. But the things that should really make us angry, you know, the abuse we see of Christians all over the world, the abortion on demand that we see in our own country, the things that are tearing our culture apart, the things that really should make us angry don't make us so angry. But when we have the right, when we're angry about the right things, it won't produce sin. It's good to be angry about some things. It is. And when we focus that anger in the right way, it actually becomes a motivation for us to do good instead of something that just causes us to sin. Okay? That's why it says, be angry and sin not. Okay? So there is a time and a place for anger, but let's evaluate what we're being angry about. Maybe it's something we shouldn't even be angry about. And then second, we need to manage our anger in a way that doesn't do damage to others or us. If you are angry at something or someone, then go to that person and reconcile with them, expressing an attitude of willingness to forgive and be unified. That's what it means by don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. So you're angry at someone, you're angry about something, get it right. Get it right. Don't let that simmer, because when you let it simmer, that's when you open the door to the devil. That's when you give place to the devil. So in any relationship you're in, you know what? Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. If someone has done something to anger you, go to them with an attitude that you want to reconcile, get it right. Not just have revenge, but really reconcile with them. And so that's what will help us have good relationships when we have this anger management. Even if it is not convenient to reconcile the issue, don't let your anger simmer into bitterness. Release your anger before it turns to bitterness by doing what Jesus did as the people were mocking him on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think about that. Jesus could have been very angry on the cross. Instead, he showed mercy and forgiveness, and a willingness to reconcile with the very people that had put him on the cross. This is what God wants us to do. Let's develop the habit of anger management by evaluating why we are angry and dealing with our anger through forgiveness. Finally, in verse 28 says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need." Finally, the Holy Spirit of God wants us to develop the habit of honest labor. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to develop the habit of honest labor. Stealing from others or taking advantage of their generosity without good cause grieves the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but it severely hinders your unity with others. If they think you are stealing from them or sponging off of them, that will hurt your relationship with them. The solution to this is to develop good working habits. Find an honest way to provide for your family and become someone who is known for helping others in need. Now, I want us to understand, I believe there's a time in everyone's life when they need help, when they need a helping hand, when they need someone to be generous to them. And I think it's a blessing to both the one being generous and the one receiving that generosity. I really think that's a wonderful thing. And I remember times in my life when I needed someone to be generous to me, when I needed help. And you know what? That is something that we understand is a blessing from God. But we shouldn't want to stay in that state. In that state of constantly needing to have someone else provide for us. I understand that sometimes that is the case. We may be disabled or some other situation where that's the case. That's okay. I understand that. But in the context that we're dealing with here is people were stealing from others or manipulating them out of their money through their generosity, and that's how they were living, okay? That's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to work so that when we see others in need, we're there to help them, okay? But that takes habit, doesn't it? I remember when I ruptured my Achilles tendon. And after that, I was down for like two months. And after that, I had gotten out of the habit of physical labor. So I had to get back into that habit of working, you know, being able to work, get down on my knees, do things, lift boards, whatever. I had to learn, reorientate myself to the habit of work again, physical labor. And that's something that we need to understand what we may have to do. So it just starts by us doing it and then doing it the next day and then doing it the next day and getting in the habit. Training our minds and our bodies to do work, okay? Because that is God's will. So, let's make the Holy Spirit of God happy by doing away with our old sinful habits and developing the habits of honesty, anger management, and honest labor. This will strengthen our relationships with others and unify us for the purpose of God.